And we're back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Willie Bo Richardson. He's a fine artist. He's a teacher of art. He received his Master's of Fine Art in Pratt Institute several years ago. He's a faculty member at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, exhibits his paintings internationally. So one of the stories I'd love to hear you tell a little about is comes out of a conversation you heard in Trader Joe's,
okay,
which I think is reflective of, I went to the University of Oregon. Oregon has a wonderful architecture school, including interior design, landscape architecture. There's a wonderful fine arts program there, really, really good music program. So being around creative students of various kind was common there. And I'm a musician myself. I've always enjoyed creative aspect. Didn't really think of myself that way for a good part of my life. But one of the things that that I've noticed is kind of complaint that often comes from those who are studying art or something creative is that it's too restrictive. There's too much that is not really the creative process. Or, of course, there's the side of, well, you know, you get this degree. What do you do with it?
Right.
So tell me a little, what's the story here?
So I was at a Trader Joe's, and I think in the sort of frozen section, and there's...
The frozen section, that's perfect.
And there's two women talking, and I just, as I kind of walked by, I heard, you know, one woman say, you know, something like, well, a lot of good my art degree did for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I agree, like, you know, a BA or a BFA in art will... probably not land you a job, you know? And this is something I warn my students about too. I think that if you plan to go on to be a professional artist, unfortunately there's this master's degree, and I was in London a few years back, and they're starting to get PhDs, which to me is a, you know, like, horrifying idea that that the terminal degree for art would be a PhD. Like, that's just scary. You know, we do kind of have to just step back and look at the whole picture, which is musicians usually do not start out getting a BA in music and then get their master's and then they form a band. I mean, you know, that they're usually like, you know, jamming out together in a garage somewhere, and then they get a few gigs, and then they start getting more shows, and then they start getting more serious, and then there's the whole marketing side of it, which is the business side. And
yep.
So why is it that art somehow needs this degree? And I think that there's, you know, partially something is unnatural about that. But on the other hand, there's something where when we're talking about at least visual art, and I can talk about painting and visual art, is that it to look at a painting is not really so much to like looking at music. It's a little bit of a cultivated experience. It's more like eating caviar than it is like eating an ice cream cone. You know, you're not, you know, it's not for everyone. And oftentimes the art has to have a connection to that particular person, but also sometimes you need a little bit of a visual vocabulary to appreciate it, or some kind of little bit of art history background, or some kind of maybe sophisticated awareness just in terms of visual appreciation. So there is this thing where the art history does need to come into play. I think that when you shine the spotlight of art history on yourself and look at your own art in relation to it, that's when you start making things for others as opposed to just making things for your own kind of healing process. Going back to Trader Joe's, you know, failed degree, failed artist person, I also really tell my students that it's not likely that all of them will become artists, and that's not necessarily the goal. In fact, it's definitely not the goal. If it was the goal, then I as a teacher would be failing and our school would be failing. So it's actually that the goal is to learn the creative process. And I would say this is more like if you were going to study the Greek classics, you know, that's probably not going to land you a job either. But why do you do it? It's because, you know, you have to. I mean, it's like you come out of the closet. If you are an artist, you come out of the closet, like it or not.
Reveal yourself
and be surrounded by people who are like you. Let your, you know, freak flag fly, you know? So
in a way you're talking about a way of coming to know yourself and living into your life.
Right.
Not just something you're doing.
Right. Right. Okay. So now getting to know yourself. And there's a lot of ways to do that, right? So why get a degree? I actually think that the art degree does carry some weight to it, or actually a lot of weight to it, which we'll call the creative process for now. And that's like what we talked about, knowing, trusting yourself. And I think that anybody who trusts themselves will also start exploring things because they are attracted to things and they start taking things apart. And, you know, I've always had that kind of personality too. You know, like I got an old diesel Mercedes and I took it's an 84 Mercedes and I took a 91 interior and I stuck that into the Mercedes. And, you know, it's more about this fascination of German engineering at the height of the Industrial Revolution and that all the parts fit and the chassis. This chassis that lasted 20 years, everything fits perfectly, right? Mm. So it's about exploring. So if you learn the creative process, you learn to trust yourself, you start discovering things, you start exploring things, you start spending more time, you can almost say like hacking the way things work. And this is actually a very important skill to have. And I think this is more like what's going to lead you to, say, a managerial position instead of a secretarial position. You know, it's like it's really training you to go deeper into things, to be self-reliant. And I think that, you know, leadership is, you know, to be a leader requires a lot of self-reliance and a lot of sort of life experience, personal experience. So I think that to truly be an artist is basically to go through the world hacking, discovering, exploring, you know, figuring things out. And this does put you into the position of this gives you sort of the mental skills and abilities to go through life functioning well. You know, in this day and age, it might make sense that you went to art school and then you sort of discover what you like and then you go on to graduate school for that particular field, in which case you'll be very well equipped for that particular field.
So that says to me that a really effective art teacher, a way to evaluate if an art teacher is really an effective teacher is that's someone who knows how to, in my languaging, be more of a facilitator than a presenter, more of a guide in, you know, what are you seeing? When you're looking at something, what are you seeing? What's really there?
That's right.
And I mean, you've talked a little earlier about creative process in a way that sounds like it's something almost outside of self, or something that you engage in and draw in. It's not like, and I've heard many artists talk about this kind of experience, it's not like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's more like I'm allowing something to come through me.
That's right.
That, you know, it's a little, as you said, it's kind of a dance and so forth. I'm being an instrument and I'm using certain tools and techniques with that, but there's something happening here that is its own thing, and I'm kind of becoming a part of it or letting it flow through. It's an organic kind
right.
of thing. Sometimes it's hard to talk about, but that
very hard to talk about.
but it's like cultivating a more refined sense of that. In my world, it's all about attention. You know, how aware are you of where your attention is going? How skillful are you in placing your attention only where you prefer it to be? And the preference is based on something very subjective, but it's an in the moment experience. It sounds like you're talking about creative process in a very similar sort of way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I just heard the other day, so there's a exhibition at CCA right now called Art Mechanics. And I was lucky enough to be one of the mechanics. Basically, the idea is artists bring in this failed or stalled art, and then the, quote, mechanics work on or fix or bring to life the stalled art.
Oh, interesting.
And it's pretty wild. You know, there's a little photograph on the wall of the original work of art. They may have started with a drawing and turned it into an installation piece, you know, or a sound piece, dripping water, reflecting light. I mean, it goes in any direction, so it's pretty amazing. It's definitely worth checking out. And I was there and I met, and I'm going to probably say her name wrong, Judy Tuletsuewa.
Okay.
And she told me this story. We were kind of talking about this exact subject. And she said, Philip Guston had this thing where he said, you know, he walks into the studio and with him, he carries all of the voices, family, friends, teachers, all the sort of people that are there with you. And they start to leave one by one. You know, it's almost kind of getting closer and closer to this thing that we're sort of talking around. And then he says, and some days, even you leave.
Ah, uh-huh.
And that's why it's important to basically be at the studio every day.
And you've really made, it sounds like what I read a couple of things on your website, you've really made a choice more recently to put more of an emphasis. I mean, even having your own separate studio, separate from your house and so forth, and deciding, you know, not to do a few income generating things, you know, and really take that bigger step to let the creative really speak through you in a bigger way is part of where you're at right now.
Yeah. I mean, I turned 40 this year and it was kind of time to move out of the dorm room, you know, is the way it felt.
Yes.
So I stepped it up, and that and actually here's a perfect example. If I wasn't an artist, I wouldn't have had that trust. So there's so many times in my life where I'm swinging on the one vine, the next vine comes to me, I have to let go of that first vine to catch the second vine.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I said no to a lot of jobs that are secure.
Okay. So percolate with that as we're on this break. You know, think about, you know, we all have our dreams, and certainly I'm sure there are many of you out there that are kind of, oh, yeah, I remembered I had that dream, you know, whatever it was going to be. And then you made other choices that were to take care of your life, your family, whatever that is. But what might that be for you? What might be that other vine that's still hanging there waiting for you to go, but maybe you're going to have to let go of something? What might that be for you? You get to be in creative process here today as well, if you're willing. And when we come back, we're going to explore that a little bit more. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're broadcasting on 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, on Talk 1260 KTRC. We stream live on SantaFe.com all over the world.
Plan now for the 26th annual Winter Spanish Market, Friday and Saturday, November 28th and 29th at Hotel Albuquerque in historic Old Town. Winter Spanish Market features handmade, traditional, and innovative Spanish colonial art by over 120 local Hispanic artists, as well as live demonstrations, food, and special events. See the intricate work and expertise of traditional Spanish art, including retablos, bultos, jewelry, colcha, straw applique, tinwork, and more. To kick off this year's Winter Spanish Market, we're featuring a special champagne brunch Friday, November 28th from 11:30 to 12:30. The market then opens at 12:30 and runs until 7 on Friday. Saturday begins with a procession of artists from San Felipe de Neri Church in historic Old Town. The Winter Spanish Market features adult and youth artists' artwork, family fun, and great rhythms. Find out more at SpanishColonial.org.
We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Willie Bo Richardson, who you can find on the web at willieborichardson.com. We're talking about, you know, creative process being getting to know yourself. How beautiful is that?
Yeah, it's as beautiful as it gets, actually.
You thought going to study art meant we're going to learn how to use materials and techniques and art history and all that, and that's all in the picture. But isn't it interesting that it still eventually comes down to it? And I've told a number of people over the years, I am always inspired and a little bit in awe of the people that are the artists that I call the ones who live their life creatively. You know, they're the people who, like, do art. You know, they paint, they sculpt, they're actresses, whatever it is. But how they live their lives every day is very similar to how everybody else lives their lives. And then there's this kind of what I would call the subclass of artists who, like, live their life in this very creative way. They're creating interesting art, but they're, like, where they live at any particular point in time, you know, where they're traveling, how they're dealing with money, whatever. It's like, it's kind of like that muse or that that creative intelligence that we are connecting with and expressing in the creative process. Like, they're living their lives day by day by that.
Yeah.
And I know some who do that in a very successful, very abundant kind of way. I know some that live a little on the edge that way, but the willingness to live that way and make choices that way in the bigger picture of life is kind of awesome to me and inspiring. To actually live that way feels a little scary to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about learning art and creative process as a way to become comfortable with that and be a more effective leader in life.
Right. Yeah. I think that absolutely being comfortable with a certain amount of discomfort is part of the key. Yes. And we get to this point a lot of times with my students where they have some kind of a breakthrough. Sometimes a breakthrough comes in the form of a failure. And usually with a breakthrough is a sort of nervousness around, let's say there's a breakthrough in a painting and then they don't want to touch it again for a while, you know, because it's something powerful happened. And I just say, great, don't touch it for a while. You know, put that painting in the rack and start something new. You can come back to it and, you know, maybe it won't be, you won't kind of remember what exactly which parts of the painting you thought were so important. And then you won't be so afraid to paint over those areas. There's this saying, which is kill your darling, which you could almost say is similar to that statement, if you ever encounter a Buddha in the road, kill him, right? But there's this, it's a lot about letting go of ideas that you're attached to and being open to possibilities. And I think that when we talk about muses, I think that's really key. It's not that you actually make the muses come to you. You can't knock them over the head and drag them to your studio. You know, that's not how it works.
The caveman approach.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that worked maybe 40,000 years ago in Lascaux, right? But it doesn't work today. We have rules against that. But what you can do is attract them, you know? And so you kind of find out what they like. And you do the right things and you hope that they show up, and they don't always show up, and you have to be willing to accept that. But
sounds like dating.
It's very much like dating. Yeah. No, you have. Yeah. And you have to. It's a lot of work.
You have to date the muse.
Yeah. You have to impress them. You have to take them out for dinner. I mean, it costs money. You have to have that money, which means you have to have a good job. I mean, you can't just like. You just don't go out and get it. It's work to do it.
You have to be willing to invest yourself into the process.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is where there may be this sort of misconception about, I'm not quite sure how to say this, but, you know, so we've been talking about the therapeutic aspect of painting, and I'm talking about sort of in my class where value study, you know, learning about color theory, you know, all these things that take a lot of time to learn. This is like how to make the money. You know, this is like your job that makes you the money, when really the money is then to take the muse out to dinner, right? But you have to make the money first.
Yes.
And so the class goes, it sort of starts out more technical, and then there's a certain point where I start trying to step out more. I also warn them that I'm going to be doing this, but I try to make them more, or not make them, this is silly, but, you know, help the students become self-reliant. So I'll start taking phone calls and, you know, taking walks and stuff like that. And a student will come up to me with like a really urgent, important question. I'll be like, oh man, I'm so sorry. You know, I just realized I have to go, you know, do something.
Of course, if your students are listening now, you're busting yourself, and they're not going to buy that anymore.
Well, we're like three quarters of the way through the class, so they know.
They know now. Huh?
And there's a balance too, because sometimes I'll take it a little too far, and then I realize, okay, I need to cut. You know, I need to check in with the. You know, they start breaking down and having problems, and you know, if the rug's pulled out from them a little too much, then I'll start to come back in again, and I'll start to, you know, give them some more support and comfort and guidance and feedback and all that. But this whole self-reliance thing, another thing too is that I really did not choose this path. It's not like I said I'm going to become an artist. And there were times in my life, there's one time in particular, I was living in Brooklyn. I had a studio on a Lorimer stop in Williamsburg. And I was very frustrated, and I took my paintings out to the dumpster and I threw them in the trash. I went home and, you know, got on the subway, you know, 45-minute ride, got home, got on the computer and checked my email. This is quite a while. This is like, what, at least 15 years ago. So the internet was new, and there was hardly any such thing as selling your art online. But I got this email from this website where I had posted my work that I had completely forgotten about, and I had sold the exact paintings I had just thrown in the trash.
Oh my God.
So I got back on the subway, pulled them out of the dumpster. But it's like, there's just been these signs, you know, when I try to give up, I can't. So I just have to keep going. And it's this thing where, again, it's like, let your freak flag fly, you know, like I am an artist. I'm stuck being an artist. That's the way it's going to be. I'm completely open to changing my career, though. But it's not going to happen. And you know, and I'm in a place now where I wouldn't change it. And you know, there's I'm starting to get all the good perks of being an artist.
So, Will, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or wants to see an exhibition, something coming up, what do you want people to know to follow
so,
up with you about?
Yeah, so first would be to check out my website, williebeaurichardson.com. Also, if you're going to be in Miami during the art fairs during Basel, Miami, I'll have my paintings at Richard Levy Gallery has a booth at Miami Projects, and I'll have a couple of large paintings there front and center. So,
what are the dates for that?
That's December 3rd through 6th.
Okay. As we're going out here, I would just invite you to consider, what would it be like? I mean, it sounds like saying, in a way, you know, you dated the muse so well that the muse is not going to let you go. So
that's right.
I'm just putting out there, what would it be like for all of you, for all of us, to be in that kind of relationship with the muse, that creative guidance, that level of life at which, you know, it's very subjective, it's very organic, it's not very predictable. And yet when you're in that sense of flow in life where you're kind of in the right place at the right time, things are showing up and you have a sense of, yeah, this is what I'm here for. What would it be like to be living in that all of the time, or at least much more of the time? Imagine that. What would that feel like? And what would be a next step you could take into that this week? What if that way of living life, what if that's simply a matter of the mind? Blessings.